In his official biography, Bono is quoted as saying this: "It's a mind-blowing concept that the God who created the universe might be looking for company, a real relationship with people. But the thing that keeps me on my knees is the difference between grace and karma. At the center of all religions is the idea of karma. You know, good and bad, weighed. You know, what you put out comes back to you, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, and so on. It's kind of like physics, the laws of natural physics. What goes up must come down. It's clear to me that karma is at the very heart of the universe," Bono says. "I'm absolutely sure of it. And yet, along comes this idea called grace, which God introduces to upend all that 'as you reap, so you will sow' stuff. Grace defies logic and reason. Love interrupts, and if you like, the consequences of your actions," which in Bono's case is very good news indeed, because he says, "I've done a lot of stupid stuff." But isn't the truth of the matter we've all done a lot of stupid stuff? The U.S. is once again in mourning over some really stupid stuff, and we prayed about that this morning. At this point in time, not too many people know what was actually going through the head of Dylan Roof when he decided to take a gun into Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church in Charleston, South Carolina that night. It was Wednesday, to shoot 9 people who had gathered there for a Bible study and a prayer meeting. On Friday afternoon at Dylan Roof's first court hearing, thankfully he was apprehended. He was handcuffed and flanked by heavily armed guards, and Roof stood expressionless. Family members of some of the shooting victims had some incredibly emotional statements to share by video. The daughter of Ethel Lee Lance said, "You took something very precious away from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never get to hold her again." Ethel was a 70-year-old mother, a grandmother and a great-grandmother, who was killed in Wednesday's shootings. But her daughter finished by saying, "But I forgive you." Felicia Sanders, who pretended to be dead to survive the attack and is the mother of 26-year-old victim Taiwanza Sanders, wept as she spoke. "We welcomed you on Wednesday night in our Bible study with open arms. Every fiber of my body hurts, and I'll never be the same." Alana Simmons, the granddaughter of 74-year-old victim Daniel Simmons Sr., said, "Although my grandfather and the other victims died at the hands of hate, this is proof, everyone's plea for your soul is proof that they lived and loved, and their legacies will live in love. It'll continue on. So hate won't win. I just want to thank the court for making sure hate doesn't win." Bethane Middleton Brown, the sister of Reverend DePayne Middleton Brown, doctor, said, "For me, I am a work in progress. I acknowledge that I am very, very angry. One thing she taught me was that we are the families that love built. We have no room for hate, so we have to forgive. I pray God on your soul, and I also thank God that I will be around when your judgment day comes with him. May God bless you." "I forgive you," said Anthony Thompson, the husband of slain Myra Thompson, 59. "But we would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent, confess, give your life to the one who matters most, Jesus Christ, so that he can change it, can change your ways no matter what happened to you, and you'll be okay. Do that and you'll be better off than what you are right now." Can you imagine? Presiding Judge James Gosnell added, "There are victims on this young man's side of the family as well. We must find it in our heart to help his family too." I can't imagine going through that tragedy. in a place that's supposed to be free and celebrates freedom. These are things that we take for granted. And yet this happens. It's a shock to us because we take our safety and security for granted. Now, we don't know what was going through Jonah's mind after God told him to go to Nineveh, except that Jonah did it. We don't know what was going through his mind. He might have been thinking, God, really, those Assyrians who've killed our people, who have rained terror upon our people and surrounding countries, you want me to go preach good news to these people? I don't want to do it, God, because you're going to give them grace. I don't want to do that. I don't want to give them grace. I don't want to forgive them. They've hurt me. They've hurt my people. I think he can relate to what's going on. But we do know that he would have known the scriptures. And he would have known the words to Psalm 103, verse 8, which says, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love." We know that Jonah would have struggled with these words, just as the family members would have been struggling with these today. In the same way that we would have been struggling with the words of Joel, "Rend your hearts, not your garments of mourning. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity." Jonah went to Nineveh, as did the relatives of the victims of the Charleston shooting. They went to Nineveh too. As he preached God's word to Nineveh, they believed and were saved. And now the relatives of the victims also went and preached good news. "I forgive you" is such good news. But I'm not sure he would have understood that yet. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Dylan's heart. "We forgive you." Such powerful words. It remains to be seen how those words will impact the life of Dylan Roof. What possesses someone to be able to forgive in the shadow of such terrible trouble? Amanda Lindhout can tell you a little bit of that. 460 days of abuse, starvation, and torture couldn't rob Amanda Lindhout of her idealism. The Canadian journalist who was abducted in 2008 while freelancing in Somalia has preached forgiveness and campaigned for development in Somalia as a public speaker since she was released 6 years ago. Ms. Lindhout's captors were never apprehended after a private ransom deal secured her release. Now, almost 6 years later, the RCMP announced on Friday last week, which was Ms. Lindhout's 34th birthday, that Ali Omar Adder had been arrested in connection with the kidnapping. Can you imagine? Our boys were doing some good work. The Somali native had been in Canada for a few days, according to the RCMP assistant commissioner. A decade ago, Ms. Lindhout quit her job as a cocktail waitress in Calgary, my hometown, to travel around the globe. She trekked through South America, Bangladesh, Kabul, Ethiopia, before arriving in Somalia in Africa, which is a notoriously dangerous place for foreigners. And Willie can even share some of those kinds of stories. Then a freelance journalist writing columns for the Red Deer Advocate, Ms. Lindhout, and Australian photojournalist Nigel Brennan, they arrived in the country, which was ravaged by war and famine in 2008. 4 days later, the pair were kidnapped along with their translator, Somali reporter Mohamed Elmi. They were kidnapped by teenaged gunmen while they were on the road to visit a refugee camp. Mr. Elmi was separated from the other two and released 10 months before Ms. Lindhout and Mr. Brennan's families paid for their release. The government does not deal with kidnap situations by paying ransoms because it would just spawn more of those attempts, right? So the parents were on their own to raise that support. Now, they were held in separate rooms in rough conditions, receiving little food and suffering abuse for 15 months, a year and 3 months. I can't imagine. In her best-selling book, A House in the Sky, co-written with New York Times Magazine contributor Sarah Corbett, Ms. Lindhout describes in harrowing detail the multiple times she was beaten, that she was sexually assaulted and tied up with her arms and legs bound tightly behind her back. What sustained her? Well, she says, daydreams about Stanley Park in Vancouver. Food and freedom. That helped her pass the time and hold on to hope. Ms. Landout writes, I could pass 2 hours imagining one meal in granular detail. The ecstasy of just making an omelette, for example. At first, her hatred for the boys, as she called them, was strong. But her empathy kicked in, and Ms. Lindhout chose to change her outlook. And she says this, I strive toward forgiveness and compassion above all other feelings. Anger and hatred and confusion and self-pity. Sure, I go through those things. They surface in me, she writes. I understand that those boys and even the leaders of the group were products of their environment. Despite the traumatic memories it held, Ms. Lindhout returned to Somalia in 2011. After founding the Global Enrichment Foundation, a nonprofit organization that works to support development and female empowerment within that country. She says this, it's the place I prayed to leave, and now I've chosen to come back. Quite in contrast to Jonah, who fled in the other direction. She said she'd promised herself in captivity, if I made it out alive, I would do something for that country, Somalia. For most of us, going back to Somalia, going back to Charleston, going back to the shooting, going to court would be like going to Nineveh, to the Assyrians who did harm, grievous harm to us. In some ways, it'd be like entering the lion's den. Why should we go to Nineveh? An exchange between Peter and James gives us just a hint of why. In Matthew 18, we come into an exchange. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times, in some translations, 70 times, 7 times. I'm not convinced Jesus means that we're to forgive a literal 77 times. He might mean that, but I'm not convinced of that. I don't know it's quite that prescriptive. I do think he was trying to say that forgiveness is just plain hard work, and it's going to take maybe up to 77 times. And by the time we do get to that point of forgiveness, it just might have taken us 77 times, actually. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. That's how today's passage begins. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And isn't it just like God to give us second chances? I love how the storybook Bible tells it, the Jesus storybook Bible. It says this, after God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah said yes. This is after he was spat out. He went straight to Nineveh and told everyone God's wonderful message. Now, I think they took a little bit of editorial liberty here, but this is what he says. Even though you've run far from God, and maybe this is Jonah projecting, even though you've run far from God, he can't stop loving you, Jonah told them. Run to him so he can forgive you. Wow, I think Jonah learned a lesson here. The people of Nineveh listened to Jonah and they started loving God. They learned to do what God said and to stop running away from him, just like Jonah. Many years later, as we read in the text of the Bible, the New Testament, God was going to send another messenger with the same wonderful message. Like Jonah, he would spend 3 days in utter darkness. But this messenger would be God's own son. He would be called the Word because he himself would be God's message. God's message translated into our language. Everything God wanted to say to the whole world in a person. Like the folk who came forward to forgive Dylan Roof And like the Canadian reporter Amanda Lindhout, let us forgive. For it is we who learn the most, who grow the most and benefit the most. We actually ourselves find freedom when we finally forgive. Let me close with this blessing. Let us run to the one who is the source of all forgiveness, God and Jesus Christ. Let us run to him so that he can forgive us as well. Like that wonderful song that we sing, freely, freely we have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because we believe, others will know that I, the Lord Jesus, live. I'm going to invite the worship team to come forward to close us with a song as we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this awesome gift of grace that you continually give to us over and over again. We take that for granted, the same way we take our security for granted. And Lord, you're calling us to go to Nineveh, to those who are not like us. And in some ways, Lord, maybe they are more like us than we ought to recognize, maybe that we want to admit. And Lord, we need forgiveness too. Remind us of that. But because you have forgiven us, Lord, help us to go to Nineveh, to share that story with others. Because, Lord, you are a God of compassion. You're slow to anger. You're abounding in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.